Drive with Julian Clover.
Getting you home.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
So here we are then with our regular Tuesday, I call it regular because this is the second one, our regular Tuesday night look at what's happening in cricket. It's from the Pavilion and here's Ollie Slack.
Good afternoon, Julian. You all right?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you very much.
Good. We'll start the headlines per usual. And after the rest of Cambridge's group played on the weekend, the county now know what they have to do in order to make it to the T20 finals day when they take on Bedfordshire in 12 days' time. Cambridgeshire bowler James Sykes will be giving us his reaction in the studio. Michael Pepper scored another ton, but once again, he didn't come out on the winning side after Cambridge Cricket Club drew for the second week running, this time at Copdock and Old Ipswichian. Burwell and Exning also lost. And what a difference a week can make. We'll be discussing England as they level the series with Pakistan after a dominant performance at Headingley a few days ago. So welcome to From the Pavilion. As I said, James Sykes in the studio. Thank you for joining us, James.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you in. And we're just going to quickly touch on Cambridgeshire. They didn't play this weekend. The weekend before, though, they played. And there were fixtures this weekend. Norfolk beat Bedfordshire, as you probably expect. Bedfordshire seeing the whipping boys of the group. So Norfolk gone on to 8 points. Hertfordshire and Suffolk played each other. They played twice, actually. One once, a win for each side. And that both takes them on to 8 points. So there's Cambridgeshire, Norfolk, Hertfordshire and Suffolk all on 8 points now, all to play for with a couple of fixtures left.
Yeah, so it's all to play for, obviously. I saw as I was coming in on our social media the league table through the Cambridgeshire News account, and obviously it's exciting. I think if we win both our games, then I think with our run rate we should be in with a real chance. Obviously other results could potentially go our way, considering we're playing a team that haven't got a chance of winning the table. So obviously exciting game on in a couple of weeks time.
So how does the point system work on this then?
It's two for a win, I believe, and is one for a draw, is it?
I think so. Obviously, if it rained
very
off,
unlikely, yeah.
But I think you never know if the weather also could also play a part.
Yeah, but you know, it could go both in your favour and against. Are there any sort of bonus points or anything for anything? Or is it just straight for a win or a draw?
Straight win or a draw. Obviously, a tie if that does happen. So, I know going into last week, obviously, two wins has put us in a great position. So, with that, hopefully, we'll go through and. You never know what'll happen.
Mm. And like you said, two wins against Bedfordshire in 12 days' time, and then Hertfordshire and Suffolk play each other. So I think you've got to hope for a one Hertfordshire win and one Suffolk win in order to go through. But
so I'm just getting distracted in the green room. They seem to be having a problem with the sight screen, by the looks of things.
No, but anyway, yeah, so, I mean, a great chance of making finals day. What an occasion that could be if you get there.
Yeah, obviously, I've never experienced it through either when I was at Leicestershire or in minor counties. This being my first season properly of Cambridge, so it would be really exciting. I know the lads are up for it, and hopefully take that momentum into following into three-day stuff as well as the 2020.
Mm. And we'll move on to Godmanchester now. So when you joined Godmanchester? Because you mentioned obviously were released by Leicestershire. Was that a massive disappointment for you? But I mean, was it take a lot to bounce back, or was it always your aim to carry on and go to cricket in the top division, or the East Anglia Premier League, or the Whitington Partners Division One with Godmanchester?
Yeah, I think obviously it's obviously disappointed when your career ends at a certain club, but unfortunately that's part and parcel of elite sport, and I had a good 8 years of it, and I still aim to get back into it. That's still one of my aspirations, but I played away from a long time away from the area. I was up in Leicester League cricket playing for a team called Lutterworth, which I fully enjoyed and made some great friends there, and then always kept coming back to Godmanchester and always pop in on a Saturday or a Sunday if they had a fixture on, because being a homegrown lad, it was a massive part of me and my family as well. Spent a lot of time down there. So after I got released from Leicester, I was obviously given the option. I had the option then to play wherever I wanted in the country, as it were. So I thought, you know what, let's go back to where I was and try and get us back into the Premier League's the aim. And so far, we're in an all right position in the league. Yeah. I think we're second with a couple games in hand behind top. So, and we're playing top on Saturday. So that could be a massive game as well. If we can win that, then really, well, it's down to us then. Mm-hmm.
And it must help your teammates to have somebody like you with 8 years or so experience at a county club in order to, you know, help them along and guide them in a certain direction on top of the support that they get from the coaches.
Well, you'd obviously have to ask them if they feel our
help. Well, I guess, but, you know, do you feel you have something to offer in that regard?
I feel, especially maybe a few of the younger lads, I think the last couple of weeks, a few 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds have come in and I've spoke to them a little bit about certain little points in private, about what they could improve on and certain situations in the game, what they can try and do to get better. But for the main part of it, a lot of the lads that I'm playing with, I grew up playing with anyway, so you just have the normal conversations you have. Like, I don't want to start going in there trying to tell them how it was, considering probably 10, 15 years ago they were telling me how to play. So
I guess so.
But when you were at Leicestershire, did you find any sort of competition or any specific competition, whether it's in the four-day games or limited overs, that you felt like younger players get their opportunities more?
I wouldn't say it was whether you're young or old. I think in professional sport, it's pretty much if you're good enough, you play. Whether you're old and whether you're 18 years old or whether you're a 32-year-old senior pro, if you're performing, then you will play because it's a performance sport at the end of the day. It's a results business. So, and the head coach obviously wants to try and win, the club wants to win, and all the players want to. So it was never a matter of someone was getting picked ahead of someone else because of their age or anything like that. It was purely what was our best chance of winning that game of cricket at that particular point. So that was where we kind of went from it.
And like you say, coming back to God Manchester, 9 years now they haven't been in the, well, been in the First Division, sorry, below the East Anglia Premier League. That must have been a massive, like you say, desire to when you came back, to get back in the top division.
Yeah, like I spoke to Kevin Clements and Matt Darrant, the captain, and I said, what is the aim? And I think we were, a couple of years ago, we won the Tucker One, as it were, and then unfortunately missed out on the playoff match.
The playoffs, yeah.
So then the following year we had a bit of a, ended up seventh, which obviously isn't what that club aims for. God Manchester's always been a big club within the area, and I was very much wanting to get part of it and try and get back to where I think it should be and where a lot of the members and also the fellow players think it should be in the league table.
And there's still, I guess, when you around this level as well, there's plenty of opportunities, like you said, to get back into the county circuit, because there was an article the other day talking about, I think, Tristan Blackledge and Michael Pepper as well, both at Cambridge, who have potentially been looked at by Essex as well. So there's plenty of opportunities, I guess, for players at this level to make the step up.
Yeah, I saw that article on Twitter, and I've played with Peps before, through Cambridgeshire, and he is fully fledged a professional cricketer, as it were. It's not a matter of Essex are looking at him. He is a fully signed pro, and he was named in the squad recently, and through his performances in East Anglia and Prem and second team cricket, I'm sure that if he keeps performing and keeps knocking the door down, his opportunities will come. He's obviously got Foster there ahead of him at the moment, and Wheater, so there's going to be a competition, but that's professional sport, and I'm sure Peps will be doing what he can do to put his name in the hat, as it were.
Take you back to last Saturday, then an incredible fit, absolutely thrashed Wesley. You set him a target of 222, so I'll start with at the halfway point. Were you sort of happy with that, or was it par or just below par?
I think in any form of club cricket, I think if you get a score on the board, it's always difficult for teams to chase down. Scoreboard pressure's always been a massive part of cricket and something that you always know it's going to probably be harder to chase, especially second innings on certain pitches. So I felt once we got over 200, we were always in with a real high chance, especially with the sort of bowling that we had. And then going forward, hopefully we'll learn also how to chase down them big titles if we come against them, which is something we've potentially struggled with in the past. But I think we're slowly starting to find our form, training well and stuff like that. So should be all right. I think we're covered in both basis, whether we win or lose the toss.
And the second innings, I don't want to take anything away from you, I mean, all the bowlers, but being bowled up for 43, was it that, did they bat poorly? Was it, did the pitch suddenly grow a healthy amount of grass, or was it?
I just, like, so obviously Wesley prepared how they wanted to play. I think they sent someone up the order to try and hit a few runs, like pinch hitting almost, and luckily we came off on the right side of it. I think if you always challenge the top of off stump and you try and hit the stumps as many times as you can in any form of cricket, you're always in with a real possibility of all forms of dismissal.
And a fifer for yourself as well. Must be pretty impressive as well, especially when you bottom up for 43. It must be a great one to keep in the memory for that one.
Yeah, it's always nice to obviously go back. I was you always want to start well when you go back to your old club. You always want to, especially I think after you come out of maybe a level that was higher, obviously in professional sport, you want to come back and show people why you did manage to play at that level and not have the question marks of how did he make it and how did he do that for so long. So that was always, it's always nice to get that off your back early doors. But going forward, it's just about contributing to the team wins and trying to get us in the best position as possible rather than personal accolades.
And just quickly before we go to Dan on the phone, Saffron Walden away this Saturday versus top of the league, first v second, a massive, massive game for you.
Yeah, obviously it's a massive game. I think any game in the league's massive. You want to try and win them all. Personally, I've not played in the league for many a year, so going in against oppositions, I'm very much none the wiser, so I just go and watch the ball and try and hit it, and then when I bowl, just try and get as many wickets as possible. Keep it pretty simple.
Julian, you've got Dan on the phone.
Let's talk coaching now. My nephew, by the way, is in week three of his cricket training, and Dan Heath runs an organisation called First Choice Coaching, and he's hopefully on the line now. Good evening, Dan.
Good evening.
Thanks very much for speaking to us. Tell us a little bit about First Choice Coaching and why it was set up and the sort of things you offer.
Yeah, so FCC was set up in the summer of 2015 purely because me and a friend of mine saw a bit of a gap in the market in terms of cricket coaching outside of schools and outside of the club environment, specifically holiday camps. We saw a real opportunity there to offer something that wasn't being offered. And if it was, we felt that cricket had kind of got to a stage where the delivery of coaching and what was being offered to kids had changed slightly. We felt that, you know, we could put a new, young kind of spin on things and do things in different ways. So back in 2015, we started offering a few kind of holiday camps to test the water, see what would happen. They kind of was they were really popular, and the business was built from them, whereas now we sort of offer weekly coaching. We coach at seven clubs across the county. Our coaches coach for Cambridgeshire. We've got staff that work at schools across the county. So, yes, it's pretty full on at the minute, to be honest.
And you've been able to help with some of, have had the help of some professionals as well, people like James Taylor and Tammy Beaumont to help you out. Is it important from time to time to get somebody in who has, if you like, that star quality, who can give that something extra to the kids?
Yeah, absolutely. It's being able to put yourself in the kid's shoes, really. I mean, when I was a kid, I would love the opportunity to meet someone or train with someone that's played that level. We've also had Tom Wesley come over as well. Obviously, you know, Tom came in October after playing in the test team, and obviously he's very current and all the kids sort of know who he is. So supplying boys and girls, obviously you mentioned Tammy as well, you know, with a chance to meet their heroes, it just gives them a little bit of something different, really.
Does it help
so much as coaches that we can really do? Obviously a lot of our coaches, we're lucky, you know, play a decent level themselves, and you know, we feel that we kind of play at a level where we can help the kids. But then when you've got international players that have played at the very top level, then they can obviously offer, you know, a slightly different insight into different areas of the game.
Like Tammy Beaumont there, that must be important for the girls. We've seen, well, this season, for example, an outbreak of female cricket commentators and former professionals in all of the commentary boxes across all of the broadcasters. It is extra important, isn't it, to give the girls a role model?
Oh, hugely. I mean, girls now are in a very different position to what they've been before. You know, there's a career path for girls in cricket now. You know, you can be a professional cricketer as a girl, and you know, I can only see the girls' game continuing to grow. It's growing in its own way. You know, it's very much white ball dominant, which is great. But with the opportunities, you know, arising with the Kia Super League and with the female IPL coming up, it's only a game that's ever going to keep growing and growing. And yeah, we have a lot of girls that do come to FCC, and you know, the kind of experience levels are very varied. A lot of the girls we find with older brothers who have played cricket for a long time seem to be kind of further ahead of the girls who are kind of just experiencing the game. But girls' cricket is definitely something that's going to continue to grow and grow.
And just briefly, across both boys and girls, are you seeing a change at all in where they come from? I'm thinking, you know, if you go back I guess it's always been the case, really, of the it's less likely for the state schools to offer cricket in the way that some of the private schools do. So does that make the kind of service that you offer all the more important to fill in the gaps?
Well, I'd like to think so. I went to state school myself, whereas my business partner went to private school, and his experience of sport and cricket in school was very different. I mean, I went through my whole school life never playing a single game of cricket, whereas he played in the summer 3 days a week. So, you know, the experience of myself as a state school boy and his experience as a private school boy is obviously very different. It is very difficult because, you know, the kind of finances that private schools have, it allows them to bring in specialist cricket coaches and it allows them to bring in people to, you know, to offer this kind of service, whereas, the finances at state schools is kind of non-existent. Mm. And there are obviously schemes like the Chance to Shine scheme, which provide children with, you know, kind of like free coaching in schools and stuff like that. But one scheme that we've tried to introduce this year at FCC through our work with clubs is a club will finance a period of coaching for us to go into a school. So one example of that would be at Sawston and Bayburn Cricket Club, where we run the junior programme. The club also pay for us to go into three of the local primary schools. We run free coaching in the school. The coach that delivers the coaching in the school will also coach at the club on a Friday night. And our kind of hope is that, you know, you introduce the sport to children in the school and they'll want to follow that up at their local club. So
that sounds really good, Dan. Dan, I'm so sorry. We're going to have to cut it short because we're rattling towards the end of the show. I'm hoping we can chat to you again on another time. But thanks for now. That's Dan Heath of First Choice Coaching. We're going to have to rattle through Pakistan now, aren't we?
A minute talk about England, yeah. But anyway, yeah, it hopefully be quite quick like the actual test match it was itself. But they turned it around, England did. They won by an innings and 55 runs. And James, were England much better or Pakistan just much worse?
I wouldn't say it was either or, to be fair. I think it's very easy, especially with how well-documented test matches are. Bowlers have one, batsmen have one bad game and all of a sudden everyone's asking to be dropped and one bowler has a poor spell and everyone thinks they can't bowl. Like, you're at that particular moment, that's the best cricketers in the whole country in Pakistan and England, and they're not going to become poor cricketers within the space of one day, and they're not going to become even better cricketers in the space of an hour. So I think everyone is happy to get their opinions in on these players, but all of their records speak for themselves at the end of the day. You don't become that level and become involved in test matches if you aren't the creme de la creme, as it were.
We'll just run through the fixtures then ahead of this week. So Cambridgeshire's next match is the 17th of June against Bedfordshire in the last round of fixtures in the T20 group. Cambridgeshire Cricket Club host Burwell and Exeling in what we're calling the Cambridge 105 derby. I'm not sure it's going to catch on though. And then Saturday, England's next match is against Scotland on the 10th of June. Sorry.
Well, thank you very much, Ollie. Thanks very much also for coming in and joining us today. Tony Deller is next after Kieran. She's got the latest from the Sky News Centre, and we'll be back with more from the Pavilion at the same time next week. Bye.